your only Son, Jesus Christ, to create triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before us. He lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God in glory everlasting.
Amen.
Bow to the ground before him.
question a certain Sunday school superintendent asked. I began to do an investigation, and she wandered through the Sunday school classes, and she picked out children at random, and she asked a question. Do you know what Christmas is? Do you know what Epiphany is? Do you know what Easter is? And so she went, and she got very depressed because almost no one could answer the question. But one of the boys she came to, she said, "Do you know what Christmas is?" And not expecting much, the little boy answered her, "Yes, ma'am, I do. That's when our Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea." Well, she perked up at this. She said, taking a risk, "Do you know what Epiphany is?" "Oh, yes, ma'am, I do. That's when three wise men from the east came to honor and visit our Lord Jesus." "Well, do you know what Good Friday is?" "Yes, ma'am, I do. That's when our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross for our sins." "Well, do you know what Easter is?" Now she's feeling really emboldened. And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I do. That's when our Lord Jesus, after 3 days in the tomb, walked away as the angels rolled the stone away, and he walked out of the tomb." Now she was in her element. This was wonderful. She's found one young man who had the answers. And then he continued. And he saw his shadow and knew that we would have 6 more weeks. What are you here for today? You're here to be confirmed. What does that mean? What difference does it make in your life? What difference does Christmas or Epiphany or Good Friday or Easter Day or Ascension Day or Pentecost make in your life? That's why we're here today. We're going to try and say something and do something to show that this means something to us. Some people say you can't believe in these things anymore, like the virgin birth, Christmas and all that. It's a pious tale. Some people say you can't believe in the resurrection. We're modern, educated, sophisticated, with it people, worldly people. We can't believe in those old myths anymore. And of course, the only reason they spread so quickly was because people in those days, you see, were very much simpler than we are today. Which, of course, is a lot of nonsense. When the disciples were first confronted with the news of the resurrection, for example, they were frightened. They were confused. They didn't just fall down in awe and wonder. Some doubted. Can you imagine that? If you were making up a tale about some miraculous event, wouldn't you think everybody would fall right into line? But no, the disciples, in the first place, didn't expect the Lord Jesus to come back at all. And when the news came out, they didn't trust the people who gave them the news until they saw it for themselves. But that's beside the point. These were people who were convicted of something dramatic changing their whole world. And you know, they all went to their death. They all went to their death proclaiming this change in the world, this thing that God had done. They didn't get a book contract. They weren't included among the 100 most greatest thinkers and influencers in Time Magazine's poll. They didn't even get an appearance on Oprah. They got, in most cases, martyred. Why would they do that if it was just something made up? For them, what happened in Easter changed the world. You know, you cannot stop to think about it. I can't understand why it is certain people have trouble with believing in the virgin birth or the resurrection. What they will say is it's non-scientific. What they will say is it's not rational. What they will say is it's a primitive myth. But I can't think of if, in fact, there is a God who created the universe we live in. Think about it. If there was a power who intentionally brought to being the whole of the universe, don't you think it'd be small potatoes for him to bring one baby into the world? Is there something inherently irrational about that? He doesn't even have to suspend the laws of nature, since, in fact, he is nature's God. He's the author of what nature is. I don't think there's anything inherently irrational about that. Or consider the resurrection. If there is a God who brought life out of nothing, don't you think it would be rather small potatoes for him to give life back to one he loved? I don't think there's anything irrational about that. In fact, if there is a God who created his universe, I should think he would be able to do just about anything he wants to do. Here's the greatest miracle of all, however, and it comes very close to each and every one of us. The greatest miracle of all is if there is such a God, how can he know, let alone care, that you exist? But he does. That was part of Jesus' great mission and missed message to us when he was among us. He would say, not even a hair from your head falls without your heavenly Father knowing about it. Not a sparrow falls in the sky without your heavenly Father knowing about it. And even the hairs of your head are numbered, he said. You are more precious than many sparrows. What is he saying to us? He wants us to know that each and every one of us is precious in his Father's sight. Let's put it this way. When you were conceived, you were a new entity, like the uniqueness of every snowflake that has ever fallen or will ever fall. You were something new. Oh, sure, you're like others. You may look like mom or dad or great-grandfather somebody. But you are a unique combination of elements. You were something new that God loved from the beginning and saw and held in his heart and his soul. You know, many people today, where today they'll think that the way to be yourself, to be unique, to be fulfilled and happy is to seek yourself, to love yourself, to burn yourself, create yourself, construct yourself. And if you don't like what you've got, trade it in and reconstruct a new self. That's what most of the self-help books that are available have to tell us. And it's all depressingly the same. But you will hear people say, just love yourself. Go deep down inside, get to know yourself. Let other people know who you really are inside. And I want to tell you something. That is all a lie. There isn't any you inside. Scripture tells us, that Paul says it clearly, your life lies in with Christ in God. God who made you, knows you, has known you from the beginning, and loves you with an infinite love, not just mushy love, not just a kindly attitude toward you, but loves you passionately, so much so that he sent his only Son to tell us of this eternal love and to show us the lengths to which God will go and let us know of that. Give his own life in suffering upon the cross that we might know God. He rose victorious from the dead to bring to us the everlasting message of his love. So God knows you, God loves you, and God wants you with him forever. Think about that. You know, I think the reason most people don't go along with the Christian faith, don't believe in the Christian God, don't believe in the resurrection or the virgin birth for that matter, it's not because they're inherently irrational or non-scientific. I think, in fact, they don't believe these things because if they are true, If what I have just said is true, then your life and my life are not our own anymore. We are not our own masters. We are answerable to someone else, the great someone else. And if it's all right with you, I'd just soon be in charge of my own life and have my own fun and do what I want to do. That's why most people, bottom line, are not believers. But there are a lot of Christians who aren't believers too, and they just don't think about these things. Today, as you're being confirmed, you're saying two things. You're saying, one, I'm ready to take God seriously in my life. I'm grown up. I'm going to make a decision. Once people made decisions for me, but now I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to decide to believe in this God. I'm going to decide to love this God who loves me that much. I'm going to understand that the life he has given me is a precious gift, and I will use it carefully. When I mess it up, I'll come back to it and say, I'm sorry. But I will not go my own way. When you do that, you're moving farther from God who made you and loves you, and Paul is calling you to himself. When you seek yourself, you are seeking a very small destination. You're seeking a very small package. And you're wandering far from the only one who can give you the joy and the fullness of life itself. That's number one. I'm ready to take God seriously in my life. The second thing you're ready to promise is, I'm ready to share it with others. All of us are called to be saints, to know that we are loved by God that much. All of us are called to be saints in the sense that we are his people, holy people. We don't have to worry about life or death. We don't have to worry about the future. We don't have to worry about anything because we know all of that is in God's hands. We are called to be saints, but we're also called to be apostles. We're called to be missionaries. We're called to share this love with others. Sometimes it will seem that God is far away from us. I'm here to tell you that he's never moved. But you won't feel far away from him because you haven't shared that love with somebody else. So you're being called to take God seriously today and to say you will seek the way to him, share his love and grace with others. You keep your promises and God will keep his. That's why you're here. That's why all of this matters. God made you, loves you, is calling you to himself, and calling you to share with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father.
I will without fail.
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
I will without fail.
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
I will without fail.
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
I will without fail. Thank you.
descend with your Holy Spirit. Now let your people service. Sustain them from all the sins of this life.
Amen.
Strengthen, O Lord, your servant Betsy with your Holy Spirit. Empower her for your service and sustain her all the days of her life.
Amen.
Strengthen, O Lord, your servant Bill with your Holy Spirit. Empower him for your service and sustain him all the days of his life.
Amen.
Strengthen, O Lord, your servant Lewis with your Holy Spirit. Empower him for your service and sustain him all the days of his life.
Amen.
Strengthen, O Lord, your servant Andrew with your Holy Spirit. Empower him for your service and sustain him all the days of his life.
Amen.
If I just lay hands on you, will you stand up, please? Pray. Almighty and ever living God, let your fatherly hand be over these, your servants. Let your Holy Spirit be ever with them, and so lead them in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Warm welcome to those of you who are visiting with us today. Take a brief moment and fill out one of the cards in the pews and stick it in the plate. It comes by. We'll have a record of your visit. There's a reception following this Mass in the Great Hall through the cool outdoors and into the Great Hall, and I do hope you'll join us for that. We have any celebrating anniversaries of birth or of marriage this week, and we pray God's blessings. Let us, family, Father, we thank you for these, your servants who come before you today seeking your blessing. Thank you for giving them life. Thank you for giving them life eternal by water and the Spirit. Thank you for grafting them into your body and church. Lead them in paths of holiness and righteousness all their days, we pray. They might be a fragrant offering to you and your blessed with God, the mighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always.
Amen.
Let's stand.
prisoners freedom to the sorrowful Job. Fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed him, made the whole creation new.
None of it might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us. Sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, complete his work in the world, and bring the fulfillment of the sanctification of all. For the hour of comfort, to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood. Patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with blessed James and all the saints.